Now, if everybody gets your seat right quick, we're going to get right into our scripture. So open your Bibles, please. While you're finding your place in your Bible there in the book of Matthew 16, let me say I am really glad to see all of you that are here this morning. Forecaster said stay home and you listen to the Lord. Thank you. That's a very wise decision. That is not a horn you hear blowing. That's the angel in heaven saying, be quiet and listen to the preacher. In horn language, that's what that means. Amen. Sure is good to see Miss Shelley here this morning. About time. Amen. And some of the family back, Courtney, and a bunch of them here this morning. Thank God for you, Miss Shelley. We need you. Amen. Say amen right there. That's right. Amen. Thank God to see her this morning. Well, I want to look at Matthew 16 this morning, and I want you to look with me, if you will, at verse number 3. I'm going to need your attention this morning. I'll go maybe a little slower than I normally do. Because I've got some facts and some statistics and stories that I'll read to you. So you've got to listen. You have to listen this morning. The message will not be as, I guess, off the cuff or spontaneous as I normally do. I'm going to be reading you some stuff. So I need you to pay attention. Matthew 16 and verse 3. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today. Buddy, that's a verse for today, ain't it? We're having some foul weather. For the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? Now, that's where that phrase comes from. You hear it on the news. You hear it on TV. You hear them talking about, well, that's a sign of the time. It came from the Lord Jesus Christ there in Matthew 16. One of the ways I know the Bible is the Word of God is the English language is shot through with quotation from a King James Bible. And it's all the way through our language. You can't avoid it. So this morning, that's my subject, the signs of the time. If you're going somewhere, you will see signs. If you're going to Charlotte, you go down 40, I guess, whichever way you want to go. Down and get on 321, you start seeing signs. Lincolnton, 8 miles or whatever, 12. Gastonia, 30 miles. Then when you get to Gastonia, you get on 85 and start going that way. And you see a sign that'll say, Charlotte, 21 miles. Charlotte. And next thing you know, there's a sign, welcome city limits of Charlotte. Those are signs. Now Jesus said, there are signs that we look for so that we'll know the end. Brother Derek mentioned in Sunday school this morning about the snow. Nobody in here knows the day or the hour when it's going to snow this year, but we sure know when it's getting close. It gets cold. The weather starts changing. We don't know the day or the hour when the Lord's coming, but we know when it's close. Ladies and gentlemen, if you brought somebody back from the dead that lived in 1875, 1880, 90. If I had time, I'd like to give you a bunch of quotes that I read last night about people who... You know what a guy said like back in the 1940s? He said, I believe the day will come when a computer will only weigh a ton and a half. That's what he said. Now we got them littler than a dime that can hold more information than that. If they came back to life now and seen the world, they would believe they was in a fantasy movie. What I'm going to do this morning, briefly, is I'm going to name you off what I believe are the five major signs. Like Charlotte, Charlotte, Charlotte. Except it's going to be rapture, rapture, second coming, the millennium. I'm going to name you off what I see as the five major signs that we're closer than we've ever been. I hope and pray this morning that you're right with the Lord. I hope that you're saved and you know you're saved. The most important thing in the world, my pastor taught us many years ago, the two most important things in life, listen to me, young people, listen to me, those that are going to college, listen to me, you that are just young, starting, the two most important things in life are, number one, is to be saved and know it. Number two, to be in the will of God and know it. If you know them two things, you know the most important things in this life. I'll give you these things right quickly. Number one would be weather changes and pattern. In Luke 21 and verse 25, the Lord told us there'd be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the star. He said, you're going to see things change. There's always been weather change. There's always been warm spells, hot spells, dry spells. Always have been. But we're seeing, you hear it all the time now, record heat, record cold, never been this wet, never been this dry, never had so many fires, never had so many floods, never had such cold, never had such heat, all the time. There is no such thing in the Bible as global warming. As a matter of fact, the Lord said, until He come back, there'd be four seasons, winter, summer, spring, and fall. So we know that basically we're going to have four seasons. But He said there'd be changes in those things that just let us know that we're there. They said that somebody, they had a hailstorm out there the other day somewhere, and big old hailstones that big, just beating people's cars up and everything else. He said there would be signs on earth and distress of nations, perplexity with the sea and the waves roaring. The flood that hit the coast the last couple of days, thank the Lord it didn't come here, was very unusual. And these are signs. You see things happening. People say, if God's real, why don't He show us a sign? Well, there's one. Number two would be earthquakes. In Matthew 24 and verse 7, He said there will be earthquakes in divers places. Now, what kind of sign is that? Ain't there always been earthquakes? Absolutely. But He said, as you're getting closer, earthquakes would increase in frequency and in intensity. It means they'd be bigger and more often. Is that happening? Absolutely. Do you realize that big earthquakes, when we say big earthquakes, we're counting seven up. Seven on the Richter scale and up. Have doubled, 100% increase doubled in the last 25 to 30 years. In 1979, there were 10 earthquakes above a 7 on the Richter scale. By 1992, it had increased to 12 per year. By 2010, it had increased to 16 per year. Now remember, it was 10 a year to 1979, 80, 81, then it jumped to 12, then it jumped to 16. In 2014, there were 20 major earthquakes recorded, and that's every year. 19, 20, like that. In 79, there was only 10. Now, what does that mean? Somebody said, well, probably, if you got this big earthquake over here, they're shaking, and they called seismologists, or whatever them guys are, and they studied it, and they said that is not true. They said earthquakes have nothing to do with each other. You know what the scientists say? They said it's a coin toss. You don't know which way it's going to land. Earthquakes are like that. Totally unpredictable till sometime when they get real, real close. Now, why would there be you think it just accident? That there's been a 100% increase in earthquakes in the last few years. Not an accident at all. Jesus said, isn't that a strange thing for the Lord to say? All things in the universe said earthquakes. When they get bigger, when they get more often, He said, start looking up, for your time is getting close. But number three, let me say morality. The collapse, I should say, of morality. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13 that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. One of the biggest jokes I ever hear on TV is sometimes they'll get on these news on the news, they'll have a guest on the news, and they'll say, listen, we're making progress. The world's better than it's ever been. Well, that might be, they mean more money in their pocket when they say that. The world is not better than it's ever been. You got more locks on your doors now or less than you had 20 years ago? Absolutely. Have you got more security measures now? Is it safer now to send your kids out now than it was 50 years ago? No, sir. They used to walk to school several blocks, and you never even thought about nothing happening to them. He said there'd be a collapse of morality. Next Sunday, we'll be dealing with the awful subject of abortion. You realize, since Roe versus Wade made law in this country, there are now 4,400 abortions per day in this country. Not counting everywhere else. There are more people killed by abortions every day in America than there was on 9/11 when the planes hit the building. Every day. Sanctioned and pushed and protected by the government. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a collapse of morality. It's not a political issue. It is a moral issue. I've got every right in the world to preach about it because the Bible says it talks about it. And I'm telling you, 4,400 days. You come next week. You won't believe it. They have now, I'll have it on video. I'll show you next week. Planned Parenthood making deals to sell baby parts. Arms, legs, brains, stuff. Sell them. Chop them up and sell them to make a profit. That is a collapse of morality in our nation. When it's even thought about to sell a human body. And then the parties, the drunken parties. I've seen some on the news a week or two ago, and they said people who party, they have no idea what's going on in this world. Me and you are sheltered, and we see enough to make you sick. And we're sheltered. They sat out in Hollywood. Those movie stars, celebrities. There's places in Hollywood where, you know, if you're sort of rich, you can go to certain clubs. But there's places that says vacuum cleaner sales shop, like this. See, sell vacuum cleaners and all of that. It's a front. It's not even a vacuum cleaner shop at all. It's a club where really big shot celebrities, those that are in high places, go and party. And they say it's absolutely unbelievable what goes on. I can't even mention what they said right here with kids in this audience in a mixed crowd with men and women. Unbelievably, a sin abound. Listen, I'm telling you this morning, our country this morning is eat up with ungodly wickedness and immorality, adultery, fornication, homosexuality. We heard a lot about homosexuality this lately, but it's right. Listen, there's other sins like adultery and murder and fornication that are eating our country's guts out. And I'm telling you, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, we're way over here in the Bible Belt. You know how bad it is around here. Can you imagine what's going on in this world? Morality has seen a collapse like never, ever, ever, ever before. I saw a sign the other day. It said, Jesus had two daddies and he turned out all right. What do you think about that? And it just seems like people go out of their way. It's talking about God and Joseph. And brother, listen, accusing God of that sin. And you know what? Every time you turn around, it's just worse and worse and worse. You say, well, that's depressing, Brother Danny. I don't want to hear it. Listen, it ain't depressing if you're saved. If you're right with God and your hope ain't down here in this world, you're sitting there saying, Lord of God, bring it on, Lord. Flip the switch. Let's go. Let's get out of here. It ain't going to get no better down here, but thank God there's something better up there waiting on us. So don't take this as negative preaching. This is positive if you're saved. Now, if you ain't right, it heavy, heavy doesn't hang over your head. But if you're saved this morning, you ought to be on shouting ground. But then we move on right quickly to number four. This is what I want to get to this morning in a little bit more detail. The two last signs I want to give you right quick are number four, war on Israel. War on Israel. In Luke 21 and verse 20, Jesus said this. Jesus said, when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies. What does compass mean? Like compact. Compass, circle. Like make a circle. He said, when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies. There's one over there. There's one over there. There's one over there. Now, if you're here this morning and you've got your doubts about the Bible, I can prove you the Bible's true by one word. And that word is Jew. The Jew. How God has protected that one nation down through history is absolutely a miracle. It is not possible that a little nation... I'm just going to give you some stuff this morning. You sit there and listen to this and look at God's hand on His earthly chosen people. I know that very few percentage of Jews are saved. I know that they rejected the Messiah. And they said, His blood be on us and on our children. And buddy, it has. But God made a covenant with Abraham. And God has never changed His mind about how He blessed him and blessed his seed. and the nation of Israel, ladies and gentlemen, is a testimony that the Bible is the Word of God. I've been studying it lately and it thrills my soul. They said, the president of Iran joined the crowd of many, many, many down through the years. You say, well, Brother Danny, what are you saying about the Jew? Let me ask you a question. Have you met a Babylonian lately? Does anybody here know a Babylonian? No, there ain't no such thing no more. That was 1,000 years ago. Has anybody here ever met a Hittite or a Philistine or a Jebusite or a Skeeterbite? You know them? You've seen all of these things. Or an Amalekite. Has anybody in here ever seen any of them? No, they don't exist anymore. We all met Jews. We all know. Why, out of all them ancient nations, did one little nation survive? How did it get scattered all over the world for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years? And the Lord said, when the fig tree puts forth his buds and blooms, you'll know you're in the last generation. And in 1948, for the first time in nearly 2,000 years, the little flag went up and Israel became a state again. After that, they have fought, six or five major national wars and won all five of them. And June 5 through 10 in 1967 was the famous Six-Day War. Egypt, Syria, and Jordan surrounded Israel and were going to wipe it out off the face of the earth. They were outnumbered 20-1. 20-1, brother. 20-1. I mean, 20 men against one man. And they come out victorious in a short war, Six-Day War. God had it. You know what He said back there in the Old Testament? He said, I'll defend Jerusalem as birds flying. You know what them birds are, don't you? And they go, I mean, you say, well, why did He say that if He meant? Well, if He'd have said jets, they wouldn't have known what He's talking about back then. Big, gigantic birds, brother. And son, I'm telling you something. He took care of them Jews. Hitler tried to wipe them out. Every other great leader has tried to wipe them out. In the Middle Ages, in many lands, a badge of shame was placed on Jews. In some places, it was a patch or red of yellow worn on the breast or the arm, and they were confined and corralled like beasts in ghettos and in cages. German states considered them as slaves of the emperors, and they were taxed and plundered. In most European countries, they were prohibited from owning land, excluded from schools and the universities. This is way back in the Crusade days. In 1353, the Jews were totally banished from France, Spain, and Portugal. Also, refused them entrance. Germany banished all Jews from Prague in 1560. Spain, in 1492, forced 800,000 Jews into the sea. Most of them drowned and died from exposure. In 1411, the Roman Catholic Church instituted the Inquisition. Tens of thousands died. Jews were scarcely considered human beings. Up to the present, all the decades roll on, Israel increasingly feels that she stands alone in the midst of an unfriendly world, surrounded by enemies without any firm ally. The United States has been a firm ally of Israel for many, many years, up until the last few days and months. And we are getting in trouble with God by signing up. We've sent Iran $150 million, and Iran's president got on TV the other day, and he said, in 25 years, Israel will be gone. That's what he said. He said, in 25 years, Israel will be gone. I'm going to make a prediction. In 25 years, Iran's president will be gone. And there'll still be Jews, and there'll still be Israel, because God said He'd give them that land to take care of. That's a sign right there. When a man gets on TV and says we're going to wipe them out in 25 years, and our own government don't stand up for them, buddy, you know we're near the end. Why didn't they all get together and say, no, you're not. We'll defend our allies. We'll take care of them. Well, you don't have to. God will take care of Israel even without us. Did you hear Netanyahu on TV the other day? I caught just a little bit of his speech, And buddy, he addressed the UN. Did anybody see that? Son, that old boy stood up there, an old Jew, I mean right straight back to Abraham's children, don't even know God, don't even know how to get saved, I don't reckon. But he stood up there and he said, make no mistake about it, Israel will defend itself. We will not stand by, we'll fight. I'm telling you, I don't know about you, I'd back off and say, bless you, bless you, bless you. Because God said, I'll bless them who bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. We don't want to get on the wrong side of them Jews. Amen? They're God's earthly chosen people. That's a sign. But let me say quickly this morning, very quickly, the last one I'm going to mention would be persecution of Christians. The Lord said in Matthew 10, verse 22, they shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. He said, before the Lord come back, the world will hate you just because you're a Christian. That's it. No other reason. They have no basis just because you're a Christian. Well, what do you think? Thursday, 3 days ago, we woke up and heard it again. A man walks into a school in Oregon. He comes in with a gun, first shoot through the window and shoots a teacher in the head. And then has everybody lay down, comes in with a gun and stand up, and he don't ask what nationality they are. He don't care how rich or poor, what race. He wants to know one thing. Are you a Christian? Stand up. Are you a Christian? And took a gun and put it to their head and killed them people. 3 days ago in America. It's Columbine all over again. There's a story that you don't hear it much on the news because they sort of keep that part quiet. But there was a young girl in Columbine High School. And that young girl was named Cassie Bernal. She was 17 years old. She was in the library the day those shootings happened at Columbine reading her Bible. April 20th, 1999. She had only been a Christian for 2 years. She was reading her Bible every day at lunch. And when the gunman walked in, she heard shots and the gunman walked in. When he entered the room, they said that little girl, 17, you listen to this, all you teenagers? All you young people, listen to me. We got some 17-year-olds in here, 16, 15. That girl been saved 2 years, reading her Bible. That man come in with a gun. She knelt down and started praying like that. It bothered him. He got over to her and said, you believe in God? She said, yes. He picked her up like that, said, you believe it? She said, yes, I'm a Christian. Put that gun to her head and went on, shot her brains out. You know what she was? She's a modern-day martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're seeing it, brother. I never thought we'd have to have armed people in the house of God back when I first started preaching. Right here in America, we don't know how much longer we'll have the freedom that I've got today. You say, well, isn't that doom and gloom? Lord, no. I'd worry about it if it wasn't like this. That means He's coming. That means something big's coming. Something better's coming. We're going to walk on gold streets. We're going to live with Jesus forever. All these problems down here will be gone. No more doctor. No more pain. No more heartache. No more divorce. No more disease. No more heartbreak. It'll be over with. He's coming one of these days. I want to sum up here in just a minute what I've been showing you. And here this morning, the persecution of Christians is real. I've got it wrote down here from Indonesia, from Vietnam, China, Sudan, Saudi Arabia, North Korea, Burma. I've got all kind of stats here. If you had a while, I could read them to you this morning. But I'm going to show you, before we go this morning, just 3 minutes, this last 3 minutes. And old Alexander Scurby's reading that Bible. And that Bible talks about just what I've been saying this morning. I'm ending the sermon this morning, if I can get this, a little 3 minute video clip. Listen to him read the Bible Read it. Not interpreting it. Read it. Not translating it. Reading it. And look at what's going on in this world. If you're ever ready to get the lights, please. And I want to show you this just for a second here before we go. All right. Somebody get me the lights back there, please. What you're going to see here is you will see what I preached and hear what the Bible said, and then you sum it up in your own mind. I just scratched the surface of the signs of the times. Make sure we got volume in here. Here we go. Watch this carefully this morning.
Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree, and all.
All right, give me about half the light, please, just about half up. The only reason you disagree with me this morning, the only reason you'd say, I don't know, is because you want your pie down here in this world. You got your hopes in what you're into right now. I'm telling you, I don't care what it is, God's got something better waiting on us. And the Lord never will use a person like He wants to until He's ruined this world for you. Something will happen during your life that'll ruin this world for you. And you'll realize it ain't down here, it's up there. On this first Sunday in October, be a good time. Let's do some hard praying. Do some heart searching. Be a good time for every parent in here to dedicate our life to God. Be a good time. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, come down here and get saved. You partying last night? I'm telling you, the party's going to be over one of these days. You're living in sin? It's going to catch up with you. The Bible said, be sure. Sin will find out. Be sure your sin will find out.